Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast.
Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving. And remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closures of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Program Advisory Committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good evening. You are listening to Transpositive here on KVOO Community Radio. My name is Emma, and I use she and her pronouns. And tonight is our annual transgender non-binary sex, love, and dating show. We're going to be talking tonight with folks of trans and non-binary experience about the topic of love, sex, and dating within the trans and non-binary community. Part of the reason that we do this show annually is because trans bodies and non-binary folks are really important parts of our community. We're both objects of desire, and we're also agents of desire, and we make really great lovers, and people don't know that much about the trans and non-binary community. And it's a chance for us to talk to each other and also to give you a chance to listen in on our conversation as we talk about this issue, which is like so important and part of making us and our experiences visible to the broader community. So, Nicolette, would you like to introduce yourself and talk about yourself a little bit?
Sure. My name is Nicolette, and I use and/them pronouns. I don't know if there's much more I should do to introduce myself. I know I talked a little on the last show, but yeah, I guess a brief introduction would be, I have been out as non-binary for about 6 or 7 years now. And I do this show with you, Emma, because, you know, I grew up in a very conservative area where LGBT plus issues just were never talked about, or if they were, they were, you know, talked about very negatively. And so I just didn't have a whole lot of information growing up that I really needed. And that's why, you know, I like to do shows like this to educate people about trans issues and queer issues in general. Yeah, that's why I do this. And I'm also in a poly relationship with a trans woman. I talked about that on the last show as well. And maybe I'll talk about it some more on this show too.
Great, thank you. And we have three guests with us tonight. If each one of you would like to just, in your own turn, introduce yourself and please give us your name and your preferred pronoun. And also tell us about yourself. Who are you and why are you here tonight? So please start, whoever would like to.
Hello, my name is Ms. Sugar Fox. I'm a woman of transgender experience. I have just started hormone replacement therapy this week. I am excited about my journey that I'm on. And I've been online dating. I've had a couple of dates through Grindr that just were not that interesting. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Great, thank you. And Scotty, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, my name is Scotty. I'm a trans woman, she, her. I'm born and raised here in Portland. I'm a hobbyist writer. My job is, well, I technically have a job, but the snow has kind of made it difficult to actually work. But yeah, I have been transitioning for, 4 years now. It's going to be 4 years in May. And yeah, it's been quite a ride.
Great. Thank you. And Colt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Colt. I use they, them pronouns and ze, them pronouns. I have lived all over the U.S., but I'm originally from the Chicago area, and I moved back to Portland last month, and I am in school right now virtually at PCC for music performance, and I enjoy it quite a bit.
Great. Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure having all of you on Transpositive. So I'd like to start by talking a little bit about the topic for tonight, which is transgender, sex, love, and dating, trans and non-binary sex, love, and dating. In our last show, we talked with three non-binary folks who shared their experiences being in poly relationships that were closed or open. We talked about jealousy. We talked about how your body changes, like affect your own experience of dating and how other people experience you. And so I'm hoping we can continue some of those conversations tonight. Since we've all started by first like getting right into our story about several people did talking about where they were in their transition or, you know, what is going on with their transition with their bodies and everything. I kind of like if we could start there tonight. What I'd like to ask all of you first, if you'd like to answer just in your own in your own space, is how is your experience of transitioning affecting your dating and your sense of relationships with other people? Do you think that the physical changes that you're going through, the emotional changes, and the body changes that you're going through, like how do they affect your relationships with other people, and how do they affect your sense of yourself in relationship to other people? Would anyone like to answer that?
Sure. I'm praying somebody else answers first.
I can answer first. The hormonal changes over the past 4 years has been night and day. A lot of trans women refer to the time before they got on hormones as when they were suffering from testosterone poisoning. And it's very true. Oh my God, it's true. I'm happily engaged right now to a wonderful woman, well, a cis woman, who was there. We met online, struck up a relationship there. And then we ended up meeting in person, and the first, like at the very end of our first visit together, she was packing up her bags to go back home to Pittsburgh. And I get the call from my doctor saying, "Hey, you're good for hormones. Go to the pharmacy and grab some." And I remember just breaking down into tears and holding her and her holding me. And little did I know that our entire relationship would change as time would go on, because I'm going to be frank, I was extremely horny before hormones. Extremely. But I'm to the point where after 4 years, I'm borderline asexual. Like, I don't crave sex. I crave companionship. And just, I don't know, I find cuddle is so much more fulfilling than sex, which if I had heard myself say that 6 years ago, I would have gone, the hell? But here we are, and I'm both confused and thankful with how my personal journey has gone.
Thank you, Scotty. That's like, you're listening to the Transgender Sex, Love, and Dating show here on Transpositive. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. Would anyone else who is on the show tonight like care to share something similar to what Scotty was sharing about how hormones, for instance, or changes to your body have affected how you view yourself? Or
I'll share.
Okay, great. Go ahead, Colt.
So I started my transition in 2013, and I've been on testosterone since 2014. And I've dated a good variety of people, but I, my first long-term relationship through my medical transition has been with a trans woman. We are no longer together for reasons unrelated to my trans identity, but I started my medical transition the same time as I was dating a trans woman. And that was a very interesting experience, because she was the first person I dated. And there, with the transition, it's not just physical, it's definitely very emotional transition as well, even if you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, just like a very big emotional transition, especially if you're with another trans person and they're like on a very similar time, like timeline that you are. It was definitely a learning experience, and I learned a lot about myself being with this person. We ended up not being a good fit for each other, but I did learn a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about what I wanted out of my life. And I'm currently in a poly relationship with a trans guy right now, and it's going really well. And I strongly prefer dating other trans people, because there's just a certain type of connection that I never had with cis people that I have with trans people that makes me feel way more comfortable, way less anxious, and just way more affirmed. And it's just something that feels right for me and feels best for me, and it feels like the most authentic. And I would say that honestly, my relationships with trans and non-binary people have been the strongest and the relationships that have lasted the longest. And it's something that I'm thankful that I have discovered for myself very early on.
Thank you, Colt. That's so wonderful to hear. That's really great.
Thank you.
Would anyone else care to share? Sugar, would you care to share your experience where you're at right now in your life?
Sure. Well, I'm a late blooming flower, just past a half century. So it took me so long to, well, I guess give myself the permission to do it or to not care if somebody didn't like what I wanted to do. As completely off the table. When I took my first HRT pill, I thought about posting this big pomp and circumstance video about how I am beginning my journey and you're all a part of it. And thank you for being there. And this whole thing. And then I realized I'm not doing this for them. So the video thing, off the table. I unceremoniously took my first pill while eating pizza and beer. But it cannot explain how awesome, how excited, just breath of fresh air, whole new person. I swear to God, I used to get angry at the stupidest things. I used to be one of those aggro drivers and everything. All of it. I can let it all go. Who was it that said, what was it? That testosterone poisoning. I was like, that's perfect. That is perfect way of describing it. It's this overdose of, I'm trying to be macho. Really? Look at me. I'm a guy. I swear. And then like, oh, no, this has been you the whole time. Just nobody's allowed you to. But there's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you. Nicolette, would you care to share any more of your story from what you were sharing the last show, or do you have any questions for our guests at the beginning?
Sure. So, I mean, I can't comment much on the way of physical transition because, I mean, while I am technically on hormones myself, it's because I have a hormonal imbalance that I'm correcting. Well, I mean, I guess you could probably say it's the same for all of us. I mean, I've mentioned this before, but while I do have gender dysphoria and I would transition if I could to the body that I feel I should have physically, unfortunately, our science is just not that advanced yet. We currently only have these binary options that people can transition to. So I'm just not able to physically transition to the body I feel I should have. My partner is planning to undergo at least hormone therapy. But you know, she's not doing that just yet. Mainly we're waiting till after the pandemic, I think. So, neither of us have really started much on a physical transition, at least so far. I do want to say, I want to comment to, I think it was, Colt who was talking about, you know, it feels more natural to, or uncomfortable, I guess, to date trans people, other trans people rather than cis people. Because I've definitely noticed that myself too. Since I came out as trans, I have tried pursuing relationships with cis people, and it always felt like it just didn't quite understand me. And you know, maybe that's part of why we never really ended up dating. I mean, I'm sure there were other factors too, but you know, being with a trans woman, and she herself is also with a trans man, it feels like we just all kind of connect and understand each other in a way that cis people can't really understand us because they haven't been through what we go through.
Great. Thank you, Nicolette. And I guess I should share too, since I'm not just like one of the hosts, I'm also a participant. So my story is, my name is Emma, I use she and her pronouns, and I'm one of the hosts here on Transpositive. And my story is I transitioned about 10 years ago I always knew I was transgender ever since I was very small. And when I transitioned, nobody told me anything about sex. Like, my doctors didn't talk about sex. They didn't talk about dating. They didn't talk about your body and how your body changes, how your desires change. And so I kind of feel like, you know, I feel like there's definitely information out there for the community, but we just don't talk enough about sex. And I really want to talk about sex. I want to talk about dating. I want to talk about love, because I feel like those things are really important. And they're one of the things, we transition for ourselves because we have to. I mean, it's who we are. It's what we are. But we also transition for other people because we are, we're more than just ourselves. We're also connected to the larger world around us. And the more that we talk about our own truths and the truths of our bodies to the world, the more that our experience is seen as normal. And I feel like our experience is very normal. We've always been here. We've always been part of the world. There's always been transgender people. There's always been non-binary people. We've always had sex. We've always had love. You know, all through history, we've been here. And I just feel like now is our time, like when we're really coming into our own as a community. And I feel like talking about sex is a really important part of that, because sex is the thing that binds us all together. I mean, it's one of the things that binds us together as people. So there were some great topics tonight, and there's things that I discovered on my own that I really want to learn more about too. I mean, like for instance, one of the things I'm for people who are comfortable with talking about operative status, I mean, operation status, like our body, things that we go through to modify our bodies as transgender people, I would be considered post-op. And one of the things that I discovered post-op was, like, nobody taught me how to have an orgasm post-op. I guess people just assumed it would happen, but the experience of having an orgasm as a woman is a very different experience from having an orgasm as a man. And nobody really taught me about that experience or how it changes. And also, like, my whole sensory map, the world that I see around me really changed too. So some of my experiences were really close to what you were talking about, Scotty, although in some ways they were really different too. I mean, I've still been like profoundly sexual, just, you know, just tons and tons of desire, but I get so much more comfort in the things that you're talking about too, Scotty, with, like, you know, with cuddling and with touch and with emotion and intimacy. And so, you know, I just want to have space to talk about those things. So that's kind of my goal with the show tonight, is to talk about some of that. And there were so many great topics. So I'd like to start by maybe talking about, like, who we date, like who we date and how do we date? Because we've already had two folks here talk about how, like, they feel so much more comfortable dating people within the trans and non-binary communities, because then you're so much more comfortable with people who, they kind of know more about what it's like. They know more about the territory of the body, the map of desire, and they kind of know how to ask the appropriate questions and how to interact with our bodies respectfully. And that's a really important part of, like, dating a transgender person. So would anyone care to comment on dating transgender and non-binary folks, or dating cisgender folks, like your experience with either one of those?
Sure. I'll start off. I feel like I'm an outlier with a lot of my trans friends. I think, like, just off the top of my head, out of all of my trans friends, only one other person is dating a cis person. Everyone else is dating other trans people. And yeah, it's hard. It's really hard not to stick with other people who know your experience, at least to some degree, who know what hardships you go through on a daily basis. I'm so fortunate with my fiance, because she both had an adoptive trans little brother, and her biological brother is trans as well. And so she was kind of like prepped in a way when she finally started dating me. And it's just, it's I don't know how to fully phrase it because it's just so profound. The experience, it's, I mean, we are going through something that is truly unique. We are going from, for some of us, we are going from one end of the binary spectrum, I guess you could say, from one end to the other. And it's such a trip, an absolute trip. If this was thousands of years ago, we would be considered wise in everything we've learned. But such is life. I think I lost the point. Someone else take over, please.
Thank you, Scotty. No, that was really helpful. So you were talking about how, like, your relationship with your fiance was so important. She already had some understanding of what transgender experiences were like, and so that kind of helped with your experience. And you also said that you feel a little bit like an outlier, but you're not, because lots of trans folks are involved in relationships with cis folks, because there's so many cis folks out there. I mean, it's, I don't think there's any particular rule or any norm for what kind of relationships transgender people are in. We're in all kinds of relationships, so yeah, you don't need to feel like an outlier.
I think it's mostly just my friend group, just my little bubble of trans women I typically stick with, who are almost all like dating each other, and I'm just like,
hi.
Would anyone else like to comment on this particular question about dating cisgender folks versus?
Sorry, if I could jump in real quick, my metamor just came in and joined me. And he is also a trans man, and you know, obviously we're both dating a trans woman, you know, we're polyamorous. And I asked him if he would like to jump in real quick and share some of his experience, and he said he would like to.
Great.
All right, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Sinan, and well, I've been dating trans people in the Portland metro area for a while, and this relationship just seems to work because all parties understand each other, and it's really a beautiful polycule. And I'm about to start HRT myself once this COVID thing clears up.
do you want to talk about, do you have any experience dating cis people at all? We were asking about that earlier.
Yes, I do, and it never seems to work out because they always want to place me in the wrong gender. They always want to force the female role on me because I look so androgynous, and saddens me. And I found cis men only want you for one thing, and if you don't give them that one thing, then they essentially treat you like
garbage. Yeah, they treat you like garbage. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else you want to share?
I think that's about it.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for sharing, Sinna.
Thank you. That was really interesting, Nicolette. So your metamor said that one of their experiences with dating cis men is that they treat them very disrespectfully, and they only want one thing, and that's really problematic. And I can see how for a lot of trans folks that would really be a problem. That would be a whole huge reason to avoid cis men especially.
Yeah, and I've had a very similar experience with cis men too. And you know, that may be part of why I'm avoiding cis people as well. You know, because I've had so many bad experiences with cis men in particular. I don't have a whole lot of experiences with cis women, but I have dated a couple. But yeah, it's part of that. You know, I tend to feel like cis people often just don't understand me, and cis men, maybe due to our toxic masculinity culture and what a lot of men are taught, it tends to feel like they don't really respect me because they view me as a woman, or at least I'm not a man, you know? And so they oftentimes will feel like they're superior to me, or that I'm just an object, or at least it appears that way.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Nicolette. And also thank you for bringing on your metamor. That was very interesting. Can you explain for people who are listening to this show who may not be familiar with polyamorous relationships, what is a metamor?
Okay, so a metamor in a polyamorous relationship. So my partner's a trans woman. I mentioned that, and I tried to bring her on to share some of her experiences, but she's being shy right now. So she has another partner, and that partner is my metamor, the person we just talked to. I am not dating him. It's only her that's dating him. So basically, when your partner has another partner that is not also your partner, that's your metamor. I hope I explained that properly. I know it might sound confusing.
No, that was great. Just as clear as can be. Thank you. Would anyone else care to comment on dating trans folks versus dating cis folks?
The opposite end of the spectrum. I only date cis men, and they treat me with respect or they're out. The rule is you take me on 3 dates in public, proper dates, not movie theater, out dinner, something like that. And if you don't do 3 proper dates with me, you're not getting in my door. You're not getting in my door. You're never getting in my bed. But my sanctuary, this is mine, and you'll respect that. And they all do. And either they that or they move along, and that's just fine. And if they want to treat me as anything as opposed to the gender that I hold, you know, then they're also out the door. If you're looking at what's between my legs, you have to ask if I've had surgery or not before we've gotten to that point. You're already out. So I demand respect. I command it. So allowing cis men to treat you like that's what men do. They've done that forever. And if you allow them to, they will.
Sorry.
Strong women have to remain strong. Oh, strong people have to remain strong. That's it. I love my bed.
So I actually did date not too many, but I did date 1 or 2 cis women when I did come out as trans, and I noticed just like a really toxic pattern in my relationships of like just the cis women that I dated. They would like try to act like they're allies to me, and then when they were unhappy with something, they would like purposely misgender me and stuff like that. And it was like a pattern I didn't want to go with. And by the time I like started on hormones, I realized that I had just a lot more in common with other trans and non-binary people, and I felt safer with trans people than I ever did with cis women. And I didn't really have as many bad experiences with cis men in the specific way around like being purposely misgendered. Like when I didn't do things that or say things that they wanted, but that was just like my experience of just wanting to be respected as a person and stuff like that.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Colt.
No problem.
So we've heard like a whole range of experiences and all different kinds of perspectives, which is great because that's what you would expect from a transgender community. You have all kinds of people who date all kinds of other people and have lots of different, a whole range of experiences. One of the things that I'm hearing that's really common to all of them though is that it's really important to be respected and to feel respected, like no matter what kind of a person you're dating. And if you're not being respected, then that seems to be, you know, the commonality I'm hearing from everyone. And feeling nurtured and feeling respected and feeling wanted and desired sounds like something that's really important to everyone. At least that's what I've heard everyone say. So that's great. I'd like to share my own personal experience too. I am married. So I'm married to a cis woman and I love it. I mean, my relationship is great. It's a really positive relationship. It's very nurturing. And we've been together for a long time. We've been together for 18 years. So my experience wasn't really that different from a lot of trans women's experience. I mean, there's all kinds of experiences, but my narrative is a pretty common narrative for trans women. When I met my partner 18 years ago, I was considered a man. That's what people saw me as. And I came out to my partner long before I came out to anyone else. And she was completely accepting of me. And she went through this entire transition with me, including moving out to Oregon. We moved to Oregon to kind of be in the trans community here because it's so welcoming. My partner was completely accepting of me and really really open about the changes to my body, and went through everything with me and has been with me the whole time. So I feel very lucky. I feel like if you're the person who wants, if you're the kind of person who wants a traditional relationship, like if you want to get married or if you want to just be with one person, then it's important to find someone who's going to really respect you and, you know, kind of like be there for you. And I was really lucky I met someone like that. And we've had a great relationship. And a lot of what love, sex, and intimacy about is really getting to know another person. I mean, and really like being there with them. So through their whole life. And I love that I have that. So I feel very lucky. So that's my story. So I'd like to move on. I've heard people talk about a lot of things. One of the things that's also come up in the conversation today that we haven't really gotten too much on the show yet is we haven't talked a lot about online dating. Right now, during this time of COVID, I know that it's really challenging meeting other folks and getting, you know, hooking up with people. And so I'm just wondering, like, how do you meet people? Where do you meet them? And what's the best way for you as a trans or non-binary person to meet someone else? Is it online? Is it through your circle of friends? What's really working for you? Sugar, it looks like you want to talk first.
I've had a lot of experience over this the last year. I never really was into online dating. I had no problem finding a date. But since the shutdown, that's it. That's how else do you meet people? So I put several websites, put myself out there. And apparently a sucker is written on every one of those profiles. I have had the worst experiences. I've had men call me up all hours of the day and night because they figure out how to get my phone number or I'm dumb enough to leave it on there or something. And the worst is when they'll text me and it seems like we're going somewhere. It seems like we're going somewhere. This actually happened. A man was trying to convince me to buy Bitcoin. He wanted me to buy Bitcoin. I thought we were going to have some chatter, you know, fun. But no, he wanted to talk about sales and figures. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so bored. And then I before we started, I told you this nightmare story where for 5 or 6 months, I was groomed by a man I thought was absolutely perfect, above board and everything. UN Special Forces guy or something like that. Very specific. Sent pictures of his family. I knew what his daughter looked like. Several pictures of her growing up. I mean, really. And then at the end of it, he says, and in the middle of the night, I get a text. Honey, I've got $2.5 million. I need you to take it.
Congratulations, yeah. You're a millionaire.
Yeah, exactly. I'm rich all of a sudden. Yeah, in the middle of the night. I totally believe this. But I go, okay, it could happen. It could happen. Let's go with where it goes. And sure enough, it all comes through. And I get an invoice on my email. And it's, yes, your package has arrived. It will be delivered as soon as you pay the postage fee of $4,600.
There you go. Just give them $4,600 and you're a millionaire.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I've been run through the gambit on online dating. And so far, I have not found men of quality.
Do you? Online. As long as you've been talking about online dating, Sugar, and we're talking about trans, sex, love, and dating, can I ask you a few questions about that?
Go.
Okay, so my first one is, when you are advertising yourself online, are you how do you decide to disclose? Like, do you decide to like let people know upfront?
In my profile, I make sure that they know I'm a, I put down transgender. So I don't want anybody to go, oh, I didn't know, and then end up murdering me. By the way, that happens all the time. So warning to anybody listening, let them know before you kiss them that they might touch stubble or something. So yeah, I put it out there. Absolutely, I am a transgender woman. I prefer to be called a woman of transgender experience rather than a transgender woman, because I'm not a surgery or anything else. I'm a woman. But for my profile, I'm very honest. Let them know who I am, what I like, and that I'm not into a relationship right now. Been in a long-term relationship for way too many times. Now
do you mind if I continue? Okay, sure. So another one I think that comes up a lot in the trans community and also comes up within the cis community is like, do you let people know that you're post-op or pre-op or non-op? Is that something that you let people know, or is it not an issue for you?
That one's off the table. If you ask the question, then obviously that's all you're interested in. And if that's all you're interested in, you're already off the tape, because that's not what I'm interested in. If you're looking down there, you're looking in the wrong place. My eyes are up here, you know? So yeah, no, I keep it straight. Let them know. I love men and I love pleasing them, and I'll do anything that they need or want. But if they need or want what's there, then forget it.
Thank you so much, Sugar. So would anyone else care to address the issue of online dating or dating within your circle of friends during the time of COVID? You know, how's that working for you?
Sure. So, I mean, in my case, I've definitely considered online dating, especially with the times that we're going in right now. But I mean, I guess the main thing that I worry about is even when I'm not online dating, like when I'm just on Facebook or whatever, I keep getting messaged constantly by so many creeps that I've just kind of been put off by the whole idea of talking to someone online who's a total stranger. I'd rather just meet people in person where I can at least, I mean, I can still run into people who are creeps, obviously, in person, but it, you know, gives me a better, I guess, sense of security knowing that I have a better idea of who I'm talking to. And I do definitely, like I talked about how, I prefer dating trans people at this point. Luckily in a lot of my friend circles, you know, most of my friends are queer or trans. And you know, that tends to be a lot of where I hang out. Like, I sing in a trans choir. I go to, like, I'm a goth and I go to the goth clubs here in Portland where there are surprisingly a lot of trans people there. You know, so I generally do tend to find that as long as I'm hanging out with trans or at least queer people, then I tend to find people that I'm more comfortable with. And then that's when I have better experiences finding people to date. But, you know, nowadays that I'm not able to go out very much and we're not able to get together with people very much, you know, that's why I have been considering trying to find people online, or just, you know, sticking within my circle of friends and just seeing where things go. Cause I also don't really like to like seek out relationships. To me, it just feels a bit unnatural if I'm like trying to basically force a relationship to happen. I feel like they should just happen organically. So if I just happen to connect with a person, then, you know, I don't care where that connection comes from. I just want it to happen naturally rather than trying to force it to happen, if that makes sense.
Thank you, Nicolette. Would anyone else care to comment on the current question of online dating, or, you know, meeting people within like your circle of friends, or like where, sure, you meet people?
I actually, I met my partner during the pandemic on, out of all places, Tinder. And I was living in Seattle and my current partner was living just outside of Seattle in like the suburb or unincorporated town, I guess it is. And we both got COVID tested and I was not doing well financially, but I invited my current partner over and I we watched a Disney Plus movie and I made him dinner and it went really, really well. And it just got even better as the weeks went on. And then I eventually asked him if he would be my partner and he said yes. And it's been over 3 months and we've been going, we've been doing really well and things are going really well. In the past, I have been on OkCupid, and in terms of dating, I haven't had good experiences on OkCupid. And it was funny because my dad used to ask me, oh, you're going on a date. I hope you didn't meet them on OkCupid. I've heard horror stories. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. And then it ends up not being fine. And then it's like a huge thing. But I will say that I have made a lot of really, really good friendships in OkCupid, which have turned out to be like really good, like platonic connections, which can sometimes be just as fulfilling as like my romantic connections with people, which is like really nice and something that I learned over time to just incorporate into my life. But it's interesting because here in Portland, I had top surgery in 2019 and I didn't get much affection from really anyone. But when I had top surgery, I started like exercising a little more and I started gaining more like arm muscles and stuff that became more visible over time. And it was like actually a lot easier to put on muscle like after surgery than it was before, which is what I found really interesting. And so I like restarted my Grindr and Scruff accounts and stuff. And I posted just like a shirtless pic of like me with like the muscle, because I'm not like a very bro-y type of person at all. But I did feel very euphoric in that picture. And so I posted that picture to my like those hookup apps, and I got more attention than I ever had in my entire life. And I was like, wow, is this what euphoria feels like? It was like a very interesting experience. But I do have to say, out of all the places I've ever lived, I have made many connections with people. And even though I'm not super, like, I haven't lived here a very long time, I do feel like, for me, it feels easier to make connections with people in the community here compared to, like, other places that I've lived, and it feels, like, very fulfilling.
Yeah. Scotty, I don't want you to feel left out of the conversation. Could you talk about what it's like being in a long-term relationship with just one person? How is that working for you?
It's been working out really well. We've been commenting a number of times over the last year. It's like, wow, we really dodged a bullet, because she moved out here at the end of December 2018. So we got an entire year to live together before we were stuck together. And we have our flaws and we've been working through them. And that's been, I think, the most important part of our relationship, is working through those flaws and just bettering ourselves as people. And it's like, I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. Heck, I'm not the same person I was 2 years ago. I've been changing and evolving, and I hope maturing, although I don't know how much hope there is for that. But my partner, Becky, she's been right there alongside me, pulls the whole way. And I'm so thankful. I would have never really used the term soulmate in the past, but she's definitely my soulmate.
So we've got about 10 minutes left in the show. Is there anything that we haven't talked about so far tonight that people would still like to get to or address?
I would like to potentially jump on that last conversation a little bit. I had a little bit to add as someone who's been observing a lot of friends hooking up over the last year. Are any of you familiar with the app Discord? It's essentially for those listening, it was the natural evolution of Skype after Microsoft bought out Skype. And Discord, it's a text-based, like you can talk to people, you can have video and voice chat now on there. Is usually grouped up into servers that you can be in. And I have seen so many trans friends in these servers since they're stuck at home, just talking with each other and developing relationships through there. And there's been a number of times they're just like, oh, wow, you're hooking up now. Oh, and you, wow. But I don't have much experience with dating apps, but just when you have a bunch of people stuck in the same space with similar interests and similar life experiences, strangely enough, they tend to hook up.
Amazing. Anybody else use Discord? Why don't we kind of close out? Let's keep the conversation going with the dating apps, because we heard a lot about Grindr. We heard some about Discord. Is anyone using Discord?
I use Discord, but I don't use it too much because I have a bunch of apps on my phone, and I guess I just like get distracted a lot from that. But I have used Discord because some of the trans groups on Facebook have turned to Discord just for the people that aren't fans of Facebook or want to use Discord instead, because Discord has cool things. Like they have like these emoji react things that are like trans flags and like a cat and like other really cool stuff, and it's just like it's very unique, and it's like so much better than like Facebook emojis and stuff like that. And it's I feel like you could interact with more people, and you could, and in a way it kind of does feel a little safer because you're able to like use whatever name and username you want. And because you can't just like randomly join groups, you have to be like invited and have certain links. I feel like that does add a level of security that Facebook does not have. So when I do have the emotional energy to use it, I do really enjoy using it.
Thank you. So we've got about 5 minutes left in the show. Is there anything that we haven't talked about tonight that people would like to still address? We've been talking tonight with Colt, Scotty, Suga, Nicolette and Emma about transgender love, sex, and dating. And we have five minutes left, so this is a good time if you still have something that you really need to get out there that you want to talk about.
Yeah, if we could. I know I wanted to get to this on the last show, but we just didn't have enough time. Something that I think is very important to bring up on the conversation of trans dating is a lot of people have this misconception that sexual orientation has to do with what genitals you like to have sex with, apparently. And so they think that, you know, if a man has sex with a trans woman or dates a trans woman, then he's gay. And that is a huge misconception that I think reduces people down to body parts rather than who they are as a person. The thing is, sexual attraction, sexual orientation, it has to do with what genders you're attracted to. And so, you know, if you're a man who is attracted to women and you're attracted to a trans woman, you're still straight. And vice versa, if you're a woman who's attracted to a trans man, you're still straight. You know, and I think that's also something that's very transphobic and homophobic when we view trans women basically as men and vice versa, you know. And that's why, like, I know how that feels as a non-binary person being treated as though I'm a woman just because I have a vagina. That's, you know, I am not a vagina. That's not who I am. I'm a person. I'm a non-binary person. So I don't know. That's just something I really wanted to address and get to, because I think that is a huge, huge thing for people to understand when it comes to what dating is like for trans people.
Thank you, Nicola. That's really helpful to remind everyone about that. Thank you. Is there anything else that people would like to share about trans love, sex, and dating tonight? Any last words?
I guess my last words would be careful. Always, if you're out on a date, make sure somebody knows where you're going, who you're with. I just worry so much because I hear so many horror stories, and I've lived through a couple really close calls. One time I kissed a boy, and he was not fully aware that I was transgendered yet, but we hadn't got to that conversation. He just kind of snuck a kiss in on me. But when he touched my face and brought me in, he knew. I get 5 o'clock shadow as soon as I shave.
Thank you, Sugar. It's really important to remind, yeah, you're right. It's very important to remind people to be safe. Unfortunately, within the last year, we've done a couple of shows about trans women who have been murdered here in Portland. I mean, we've had three in the last year in Portland, and getting assaulted and getting hurt. And you know, sometimes it's because they're murdered or they're hurt by someone who, you know, assaults them because they're transgender. So really important reminder.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful night, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much for joining us. Does anyone else have any last words or anything you'd like to share before we go tonight?
Just gonna add, just stay safe out there. It's dangerous.
Thank you. Yeah, I would just like to close by reminding people it is very dangerous, and it can be difficult to date when you're transgender, but it's also like very ecstatic. And I just want to remind people that, like, in addition to the dangers, it's also like very celebratory to like express your desire and to be true to who you are, and to be a good lover, and to be someone who's out there in the world for other people who want lovers as well. Because, you know, we are beautiful people, all of us. And, you know, we are, one of the things that we can do is experience the joy of having bodies and being with other bodies. And so it's important to be safe, but it's also important to just, you know, just have a good time. So enjoy yourself. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight.
I love you all, and nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. This was a great conversation.
It was very lovely.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Scotty, Colt, Sugar, Nicolette for joining us tonight here on Transpositive, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Hi, this is Emma. So I just wanted to share some really exciting news that happened this last week. So I'm going to read a story from the Gay Times called The U.S. House of Representatives Passes the Equality Act, and a huge win for LGBTQ+ rights. And this is just a story about the Equality Act, which passed in the U.S. House this week. It probably doesn't have a chance of actually going all the way into law because it needs 60 votes in the Senate, but it might happen, but it's very unlikely. Anyways, here's the story. It's still good news. The U.S. House of Representatives passes the Equality Act, and a big win for LGBTQ rights. And this is by Jordan Robledo from February 26th. A landmark win for LGBTQ rights in the United States. It has been reported that the U.S. House of Representatives has passed the Historic Equality Act, which brings the LGBTQ+ community closer to universal equality. The Equality Act aims to protect LGBTQ people from discrimination in fields such as housing or employment. It was passed by a 224-216 vote and saw three Republicans voting alongside the Democrats to vote in favor of the bill. Getting through the House of Representatives is the first hurdle for the Equality Act, since now it needs to pass in the U.S. Senate. With a Senate split 50-50, the bill is plagued with an uncertain future. In order for the bill to pass, at least 10 Republicans will need to vote for the bill alongside the Democrats. The LGBTQ plus community has waited long enough. The time has come to extend the blessings of liberty and equality to all Americans, regardless of who they are or who they love, said Representative David Cicilline. Many representatives and political figures have shown support for the bill, with President Joe Biden assuring that he would sign the legislation if it beats the Senate threshold. Every person should be treated with dignity and respect, and this bill represents a critical step toward ensuring that American lives up to our foundational values of equality and freedom for all, Biden said. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat of Wisconsin, opened up about the importance for the bill, stating, "It's time to end this kind of discrimination against the LGBTQ community." Celebrities have also come forward in favor of the bill, ranging from Taylor Swift and Demi Lovato to Misha Collins and more. Yes, fingers crossed and praying that the Senate will see trans and LGBTQ rights as human rights, Swift wrote. The fight for LGBTQ and equality still goes on. So anyways, that was the news. That's it. So thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor It Did Happen Here, Nothing is Final.